My name is Sam Feldman. I live on Martha's Vineyard most of the year and in New York City part of the year. The name of the group is the Men's Bereavement Group. It's mensbereavement.org. That's one word, MENSBEREAVEMENT.org. It's 1-800-309-3658.
All right, cool. Sam, it's so great to talk to you, but unfortunately, because of the topic that we're going to be discussing, I have to ask you to tell me about your loss, the loss of your wife.
Well, after 53 years of a wonderful, ideal marriage and a loving relationship, my wife died of cancer in November of 2008, and a black cloud was over me for a long period after that, and the feeling of loneliness was so palpable that I had to do something about it.
Tell me about your loneliness. Did you just retreat into yourself, or how did your days go after that happened?
I felt as if a part of me had been amputated, maybe half of me. It was a outer body experience that I experienced of loneliness and a feeling that I just almost couldn't go on alone after having such a wonderful relationship. So I went hunting and gathering, and I hunted for somebody who shared my experience, and I found a man on Martha's Vineyard whose wife had died recently, and we started talking, and we decided to create a men's bereavement group.
Now, Sam, did you go to any other bereavement groups that had both genders in them?
I did.
How did you feel? I guess it didn't work.
I felt out of place. It was primarily women, in fact, all women, and I just felt that I could not open up with my emotions and cry.
Well, I'm not surprised. Did you feel differently in the company of other guys, or did you just feel better being with other guys?
I just felt more comfortable in expressing the way I was feeling when it was all men. And I didn't want to expose my weakness or perceived weakness to women, and that was my way of life. I had been an entrepreneur, and I had been strong and efficient and effective, and all of a sudden I felt just emotionally bereft.
I was widowed 10 years ago. My husband died of cancer, and I did go to one bereavement group, all women, again, and I never went back. I went for once, and I'm pretty gabby, but I found myself.
Yeah,
that might be surprising.
Most men in our group have the same experiences as you, Pat.
Yeah.
They have gone to a mixed-gender bereavement group, and they found that it is not right for them. I'm not putting mixed gender bereavement groups down. I think they're helpful for many people, but for most men, they will not expose their deepest feelings with women.
In the New York Times article that I was reading about you, it was so interesting. One group, men were not asked, "How do you feel?" but "What did you do?" Tell me about that, if you would.
Well, men are hunters and gatherers, and they go out and they try to do something. They act. They're pragmatic. Rather than expressing their emotions verbally, they act it out. And that's what happens. And women are much more comfortable talking about their emotions. Men rarely talk about their feelings, even with their wives. So this is a totally new experience for them. And when they're with men, there is locker room talk.
Shocker.
Right. And they express their emotions by patting their buddy on the back,
yeah,
or doing a high five. But they don't express their emotions verbally, nor do they open up and cry. And when I take a newly widowed man out to lunch, they cry. They open up and they talk about it, especially knowing that they're with someone who has had the same experience that they've had.
It's a stereotype, but don't you think some people tend to dismiss what a widower is going through, thinking, ah, he's just going to marry again in a year?
Well, absolutely. And he might very well marry again in a year, but that doesn't mean that he hasn't had a psychological and an emotional trauma during that year that he's gotten up to the marriage. And then, even after the marriage, there are triggers of emotions that occur for anniversaries or birthdays or going to a restaurant that was familiar with the relationship and with his wife. And there are triggers all the time. It's something that never leaves you. But in our group, the feelings are mitigated and softened by men being able to talk about their experience and what they're going through.
Also, in the article, this is another stereotype, women mourn, men replace. Not true?
I think they both mourn. And I don't think the replacement is so easy for men, even though they are objects of casseroles after the death of their wives. And I had a little trouble with that because my wife and I discussed it, and she said that I couldn't accept casseroles with email addresses attached to them. So, yeah, men suffer, but they mostly suffer in silence. And when they have a group of men to talk to about what they're going through, it helps in the process tremendously and helps them get through to a better place.
That article was so eye-opening because you just tend to, well, as a woman, you just think, these guys are going to get over this real easily. But it was eye-opening to find that, just as for women, sometimes you can say that it gets harder and not easier as the time passes.
We have many men who come into our group whose wives have died 3 years ago, 5 years ago, and all of a sudden, something happens and they go into a funk again.
Yeah.
There are triggers that create this emotional vacuum for them, and it does not stop. The fact that it's been a period of time does not mitigate their feelings. And even some people who have gotten married or are engaged are going through the same problems that they had initially after their wives died.
And it's almost sometimes the new relationship, in quotes, it's on a different plane altogether than what you are going through with the loss of your first spouse.
One of the great problems that new relationships have created with most of the men in our group is with their children and the acceptance of their children of the new relationship, and particularly with their daughters. The sons say, "Yeah, Dad, go for it." And the daughters say, "How can you do that, Dad? She is so unlike Mom."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I think it's great that you started this Men's Bereavement Network. Tell me about that. How did that grow?
Well, we decided that it was so helpful to us and in our group that we, and there's no place nationally for widowers to go. And there's some literature on it. There are lots of books, but there's no way for them to experience the unique process of going through it with other men. So we decided that we would try to form a national group to start men's bereavement groups around the country. And we are looking for organizations who will start men's bereavement groups. We're looking for men in various cities who will step forward to start their own groups and gather other widowers together. And in the future, there are going to be so many more widowers as the baby boomers come through that there is really a national need for this kind of organization.
Well, that was very well said. Do you want to leave anything else with our listeners that I might not have asked you about?
Yeah, we would like to do more research on men's bereavement and widowers. Most of the research is 10 to 20 years old, and we would like to fund new research so that it is understood better, and we would like to hold a conference in 2012 so that widowers can get the help that they need in going forward and going through the process. It's men have to realize that they can get through this, that the dark black cloud that's hanging over them and the loneliness will be better if they can speak about their emotions, if they can get it out, if they can talk to other people who have gone through the process. And the peer-led groups that we have, we feel are the way to do it. We do not have professional leadership. We have leadership of people who have endured the experience and who can relate to the other people in the group.
How are you doing, Sam?
I'm doing okay. I'm in a new relationship, and there are all kinds of challenges in a new relationship, but I'm doing okay. And the cloud that was over me, the depth of the cloud, is less than it was, of course, 2.5-3 years ago, but it's still there. The anniversary of my wife's death is coming up next week, the third anniversary, and I must say that that is on my mind constantly.
I'll bet. Yeah, mine for my husband's coming up in January.
And that's a trigger.
Yeah,
definitely
you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I have since married again, but I have to tell you that, you know, people say, I don't want to hear this because it'll be 10 years. And I can't, sometimes it seems like 10 years, but sometimes it seems like last year.
Mm-hmm. And do you have the triggers as
Oh,
well?
Yes. Oh, yes. And it surprises me. You know, I'll find myself on the verge of tears,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and I'll say, "Why?"
Exactly. Yeah. You're happy in a new relationship, and then all of a sudden something occurs that says to you, "Wow, those years with X yeah. were so wonderful, but my new life is good, but it's different."
Yeah, and it's almost like an unfinished rhapsody. If you know what I mean,
yep. Okay,
you really wish you could hear that last stanza.
Yeah, but it's not always a rhapsody in blue.
Well, true. Yeah. True.
There is light, and life goes on, and you feel much better, and you enjoy your life, and you're thankful for your life, but the first love of your life cannot be forgotten.
That's very well said. Well, this was so much fun. It was really great to talk to you.
You know, we start. Our meetings are not all dismal. They're upbeat. We start with a joke, and we end with a joke.
And you start
really,
with a joke, really?
It's light and it's heavy. It's a mixture of all the facets of human emotion, and it's fascinating that macho men will expose their emotions. We have a salty fisherman in our group who, after several meetings, came to me and he said, "Thank you so much for letting me come to the meetings." And I said, "Why? Why are you thanking me?" He said, "Before I came, I felt all alone, and now I know I'm not alone." And that makes it all worthwhile.